Welcome to CFO.University's audio version of Eric Gillum's CFO Ed Talk. Is your competitive philosophy building or killing your culture? Eric asks, how did you feel the last time you were really stressed out or discontent? Were you thinking about how productive you were or how to move your company forward? He then shares how to build a team culture that is happier and less stressed, leading to increased productivity and profit. Enjoy, learn, engage.
Think about the last time you were really stressed out or discontent. How did it make you feel? I know when I get that way, my palms get sweaty, my stomach goes in knots, and I feel almost paralyzed. Last thing I'm thinking about is how productive I am at work, or the next big thing that's going to help change my company. So I could give you statistics about how happier employees or less stressed out employees are going to make your company more profitable, but you already know that. That's common sense. So how do you develop an environment with your team that increases happiness and decreases stress and discontent? I was struggling with this question a couple years ago, and I decided to do an activity. This activity involved me, when I got home every night before bed, I would write in my journal. I'd write about what happened during the day, if I had any stress, and if I did have stress, what caused the stress. About 6 months into the project, I decided to stop and look back through my journals. The main theme that I took from this activity was that I was really stressed out in situations where I had a perceived lack of control of the situation. Let me give you an example. It's promotion time. So-and-so may get promoted, and I might not get promoted. I didn't have any control over so-and-so's performance. I don't have any control over the promotion cycle. All I have control of was my abilities, but still, it was stressing me out. So I had to dig into this deeper. When I dug into this deeper, I came up with two core things that are in all people, and everybody's gonna fall at a different level in the spectrum. There's two things that are causing this default to be discontent. The first one is competition. Competition is baked into our DNA through millions of years of evolution. We've been competing for food and shelter and resources for generations. It's even alive in the culture that we have today. We compete in athletics, academics, to get into the right school, to get the right job, to get the right spouse. Here's an example of competition in places that you didn't even think it would happen. You're driving on the freeway and it's rush hour and you're in the middle lane. And all of a sudden the lane to the right of you starts moving faster. So I switch lanes. Well, all of a sudden that white car that was in front of me, I'm now in competition with them. I don't know why, I don't know this person. But as my lane goes ahead, I feel better about myself. But as my lane stops and the middle lane goes and he passes me, I feel terrible. What have I done? How did I make this choice? Why is that my default? The second is our subjective self-view. The way we look at everything in the world, including ourselves, goes through the lens of the things and the actions that we've had throughout our life. And one thing that's natural with everybody is the things that we are best at are the most important, and the things that we're worst at are the least important. I'm going to paraphrase the Bible a little bit, but I think it brings out my point. The Bible says, treat others the way you want to be treated. So I must think so highly of myself that the best thing I can do for anybody is to treat them the way that I treat myself. Another example, and I'm going to go back to driving again, is when you're driving down the highway and you come up behind somebody who's going 5 or 10 miles an hour slower than you are. This person, what are they doing on the road? How do they have a license? What are they thinking? On the other hand, if somebody flies by you going 10 or 15 miles an hour faster, this is a crazy person. They're going to get somebody killed. I should call the cops. I hope they get pulled over. But you, every time you're driving, you're always going the right speed, whether you're late for a meeting and you're trying to push it, or you're right on time and you're taking it easy. It's all subjective. So if you take competition and a subjective view of oneself and put that together, that's a recipe for stress and discontent. So what can we do? How can we solve this problem? You have to have specific goals. So goals changes the focus from other people and how you compare to them and puts the focus on something that you have control over and you can set what is your achievement. So goals can't just be words. There needs to be 5 specific parts to a goal. And I know everybody's heard the acronym of SMART before, but I can't stress how important it is. SMART is specific, measurable, attainable, reasonable, and timely. And I don't know what it is about people, but it's always tough to get those five parts in a goal. I don't know how many times I've had people come to me and say, Eric, my goal for this year is to increase industry knowledge or increase knowledge of finance. Well, what does that tell me? That's pretty broad. Can you be able to sit across the desk from me a year from now and tell me that you met that goal? A better example of a goal is I want to increase my knowledge in interest rate swaps. And to do that, I'm going to read 3 articles and give a presentation at the end of those 6 months. So is it specific? Yes, I want to increase my knowledge of interest rate swaps. Is it measurable? Yes, it's 3 articles and 1 presentation at the end. Is it attainable and reasonable? Yeah, you should be able to get that done in that amount of time. And then is it timely? We'll know at the end of that 6 months if you have met your goal or not. Steve Jobs is an example of somebody who had very specific goals. Do you think when he was sitting down with his design team coming up with the idea for the iPhone, he said, guys, I think we need to make something a little better than the competition, or we need to make something a little different? No, he said, I need a phone that doesn't have buttons. I want it to be a complete touchscreen on the front, and that's going to change people's lives. So some could argue that maybe some of Steve's goals weren't the most timely. He put some stress on people, but he was very effective, and he helped grow Apple to be the giant that it is today. So let's go back to our driving example again, and yes, this time we're going to put goals to it. So instead of just driving from point A to point B and trying to get there as fast as I can, this time, ahead of time, I set up a goal for myself, and I gave myself a buffer. Normally, it takes me 45 minutes to get there in traffic. I gave myself an extra 10 minutes, so 55 minutes. So now when I'm driving, it doesn't matter if I get in one lane or the other, that's going to save me 1 or 2 minutes. I know I have a 10-minute buffer, so it takes the stress out of the situation. Another thing about goals is it doesn't just help your workplace. It helps your personal life. You can apply these same principles to your personal life and with your family. You can set goals for how much you want to save, what adventures you want to go on in the next 10 years, how you want to treat your spouse, or how you want to raise your kids. At the end of the day, we all want to work with people that are healthy, happy, and are less stressed out. You have an opportunity to increase profit and productivity without spending one extra dollar. You need to set up a process where you implement goals. You need to take control of your goals.